Welcome to Shifting Mindsets for Better Health, a podcast series produced by our partners at Central Michigan University with a grant from the Children's Foundation. COVID-19 has impacted the lives of millions. Sharing information among healthcare professionals is going to be key to saving lives and improving outcomes. This podcast series brings together healthcare professionals across disciplines to share insight into the far-reaching effects this pandemic has on children, caretakers, and medical care providers.
I personally have seen a lot of deaths in younger, healthier people. This is why it scares me.
Any FDA vaccine, whether it's Moderna or Pfizer or Johnson & Johnson, is better than no vaccine.
This episode is the COVID-19 vaccine. Many pharmaceutical companies spent most of 2020 trying to develop a vaccine for COVID-19. On December 11th, 2020, the FDA granted the Pfizer vaccine emergency use authorization in adults. This was followed by the Moderna vaccine on December 18th. The Johnson & Johnson vaccine would not receive emergency use authorization until February 27th of 2021. Trials began in children in January of 2021, and at the time of this recording, only Pfizer has received FDA approval for use in adolescents 12 years or older. Dr. Nicholas Haddad is an associate professor of infectious diseases in the CMU College of Medicine. Dr. Haddad explains how the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines operate in the body to fight off a COVID-19 infection.
The vaccines available to the public for COVID-19 protection are two mRNA-based vaccines manufactured by Pfizer, which was approved early December, and the second is Moderna, which was approved mid-December. There are many other vaccines in the pipeline. We can talk about that later, but internationally, people are very versed on the different types of vaccines. So let me start out by explaining to our U.S.-based audience about the two vaccines available to us here. I will talk about both of them together because they're kind of similar in how they protect us and their side effect profiles. They are messenger RNA-based. What that means, yes, it is a novel mechanism for producing immunity, but it is something that has been in the works for at least 15 years. Messenger RNA molecules were introduced into medicine 10, 15 years ago to combat cancer and to start making vaccines against other viruses, namely influenza, Zika, CMV, EBV, and other adenoviruses. So it wasn't into clinical practice until recently we were able to use that into clinical practice. I think this is opportune time here to reassure people that utilizing the messenger RNA technology, or what we call platform, has not cut any corners of safety or any corners of efficacy. It just happens we were fortunate enough that at this point in history of medical progress, we could utilize this technology, and it came in handy with the start of the pandemic. So it was a serendipitous coexistence of two issues, the pandemic on the one hand, and the emergence of this technology on the other, and we were fortunate that they could both be combined to produce this vaccine. So messenger RNA is something that our cells produce. This is how within the cell, the molecules talk to each other to produce a certain protein. So when the cell needs a certain protein, it asks its nucleus to produce messenger RNA. The messenger RNA goes into the cytoplasm outside of the nucleus. It gets translated, that's what we call translation, into a protein. It's a simple biochemical equation. And the protein gets produced and the cell is happy. So right now what we did is we took the messenger RNA of the virus itself, that part that is responsible for encoding the most immunogenic part of the virus, which is the spike protein. Scientists isolated that, put it into a little ribosome or a lipid, I would call it, balloon or small balloon, and put it into solution And this is basically what the vaccine is. So it is injected into the muscle. When it goes inside the muscle cell, the lipid vacuole or the cyst that I mentioned or balloon, it disintegrates right away. The messenger RNA is picked up by the cytoplasm and it gets translated at that moment into a protein. The protein of the virus that tells our immune system to make antibodies. Right after translation, that messenger RNA molecule disintegrates. It is not stable enough to stay for a long period of time. So this is another important concept for people to know that it does not affect their genetic material, that it's not going to transform them or make them into different whatever, because there's a lot of concern about that. There are other concerns about this particular issue, but from what we know, scientifically speaking, that messenger RNA gets disintegrated after it gets translated. And that translation process leads to the formation of the spike protein. The spike protein goes out of the cell. The cell presents it to other immune system cells that are T cells that pick it up and then form antibodies against it. This is the natural, or I should say the normal process that our bodies form immunity against invading microorganisms. And then the cells produce antibodies and produce other cells that are sensitized against this particular virus. So there are two cellular mechanisms against for protection. One is called cell-mediated immunity. One is called antibody-mediated immunity, or in other words, we call it humoral immunity in medicine. And it's an old term, but basically it tells us that it's a molecular-based immunity mechanism versus the cellular immunity mechanism. And they're both kind of concurrent at the same time, but not concurrent in other times. So it's a little complex. I'm not going to go into more details, but after that process, two forms of immunity are produced. So the COVID vaccine is two doses, and this is not new for COVID. Many other vaccines require two doses, month apart, 2 months apart. I can give you the example of, for example, Tdap or Boostrix, which we get as kids. It's given at 2, 4, 6 months of life, and then it's given at 10 years, and then every 10 years thereafter. Hepatitis B also is another good example. It is given at time 0, at time 2 months, and then at time 6 months. Gardasil, which is the HPV vaccine, is also given like hepatitis B, 3 doses. I can give you the example of varicella vaccine, chickenpox. It's at year 1 and year 4 of life. I can think of many other vaccines that require boosters. The Fluvax or flu vaccine, which is a good example also of the yearly need for a boosting dose for the vaccine because the influenza virus changes. So our bodies need a new reminder every year to make the specific immunity against the specific influenza virus for the year. So to say that, oh, why is COVID two vaccines? Why is that different? No, it is not different at all. Your question is a very good question, but it really is along the science of vaccinology. This is very common. On the other hand, most of the COVID vaccines right now are 2 doses, except Johnson & Johnson requiring 1 dose. And that's the nature of the vaccine itself. We need 2 doses to protect us fully. And we will talk about what that really means. So if we need 2 doses to incur full protection, intuitively speaking, there would be no full immunity after 1 dose. In other words, after 1 dose, probably less than 50% of people do have some form of immunity. Their system is working hard to produce antibodies and to produce cells against the virus, but it hasn't matured enough that it incurs or it produces full immunity. So that's why their system needs a reminder or a booster a month, 3 weeks or a month later, depending on the vaccine. With the booster, most people do develop antibodies and do develop immunity. So 2 weeks after the second dose, 95% of people are protected. So now, of course, as everything in life, the devil is in the details. Then your next question is, what does protection mean, right? And protection means different things to different investigators. It means different things in different studies. In the Moderna and the Pfizer study, protection means absence of severe infection. With that said, people are smart enough to know that, hey, people can still have a mild infection or they can carry the virus without necessarily knowing. And the answer is, yes, that can happen. But do I really care if people have the virus over a short period of time and it doesn't cost them much and they emerge without severe symptoms? Well, the answer is yes, I care a bit, but I'm happy also because it protects against severe disease. Because disease is what puts people in the intensive care unit, and severe disease is what makes people die. So this is a dicey question and a dicey answer. I'm very happy with the protection that the two vaccines provide. I took them myself, and I'm happy, and I know that if I do get COVID, it will be mild or asymptomatic. But then I know that I may still carry the virus over a short period of time if I get exposed to somebody. So potentially I could carry it in my nose without knowing and give it to somebody who's vulnerable to it. And that's why, for now, we continue using the protection. Until we have more data of protection and until we have more people vaccinated, so more or less immune. So nothing in medicine is completely black or white. I tell my patients most things are gray. This is an issue with COVID, which is a bit gray for now. We're very happy with the protection they provide from the severe disease, but we need more information to tell people not to use masks anymore and what have you. In other studies, however, a protection is defined by lack of infection. So this is why, for example, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine target is 70%, because what they're looking at is absence of even carriage of the virus during a short period of time. And if I may elaborate over this point here, when we say asymptomatic carriage, I would like to reassure people that it doesn't mean that they will carry it for a long period of time. The course of it is pretty much similar to any other infection, meaning they get it and it stays there for a few days, it goes away, and that's it. The difference is they don't know that they had it.
Dr. George Cocano is the Vice President for Health Affairs and the Dean of the College of Medicine at Central Michigan University. Dr. Cocano further explains the importance of vaccination during this pandemic.
Any FDA vaccine, whether it's a Moderna or a Pfizer or Johnson & Johnson, is better than no vaccine. So anything that the FDA has vetted is the way to go. Trying to compare one or the other really does not make a difference. We have a pandemic. Any vaccine is going to mitigate the spread, further death, and get us back on track as a country. So to your specific question about the Johnson & Johnson, the Pfizer and Moderna, happy to talk about them. The Johnson & Johnson vaccine, one, is a safe vaccine. It's been studied in tens of thousands of people in the U.S., in South Africa, in Europe. So from a safety perspective, there are no concerns. From a technical perspective, the way it works, you have the COVID-19 virus with this genetic profile where it produces these spike proteins that are toxic, causing both inflammation as well as infection in the human body. So the Johnson & Johnson vaccine takes a copy of the DNA that's toxic. This is the one that produces these spike proteins, attach them to a almost ineffective dead virus called adenovirus. There's no reduced virulence there. The virus does not cause any infection. It's just a vehicle to carry that DNA copy inside the human body. It's protective. It does not give you any cold, any infections. Once inside the human body, it goes to the cells. It triggers an immune response for the body to start developing proteins or antibodies against a possible COVID-19 infection. To put things in perspective, most of us take the flu vaccine on a yearly basis. In best case scenario, it's a 40 to 60% effective, but still prevent death, prevents the flu. And we've been doing this for decades. The Johnson & Johnson vaccine is 70% effective in the U.S. studies. I mean, so this is way above the effectiveness of the regular flu. And unfortunately, we have variants of the COVID virus that has been popping up throughout the world. One of them is the most concerning is what we're calling the South African variant. Even the Johnson & Johnson vaccine is like 56, 57% effective. Again, this bad variant. So it's a safe vaccine. It's effective. There are no deaths from anyone who've taken the vaccine. But there were deaths in the control or placebo arm. There's no question that, I mean, the vaccinations, since the first two vaccines got approved by the FDA back in December, we were not prepared as a country, as a health system. We were not prepared for administration, for delivery. So shame on us. We still have some road bumps that we are learning from, but things are getting much better. There's light at the end of the tunnel here. Vaccines, I mean, the way you look at it at this point, vaccines are like politics, are local. You've seen one community, you've seen one community. So getting administration in vaccine in urban Detroit is different than getting administration up in the UP. Populations are different, culture are different, resources for hospitals, health departments, clinics are absolutely different. So things have to be customized to your county, to your region, based on the resources available. But access is universal to all of us. And it's, we're hoping by the next couple of months, with the three available vaccines, there are going to be enough for everyone in this country to get at least one first dose. And so the coronavirus is nothing new. It's been around for, it's going to be around for centuries. So the virus itself is not new. That COVID-19 variant, this is what caused this pandemic. Let's be realistic and practical about it. The virus is not going away. It's how do we mitigate spread? How do we treat? What do we learn? If at the end of the day, we're going to be getting booster shot every year, every 2 years or 18 months, so be it. I mean, safety is important. So the vaccine is going to be with us. It's a matter of how to minimize the risk from the vaccine, minimize the spread, minimize long-term effects.
Vaccines help to prevent disease spread by helping our immune systems fight off infections with reduced symptoms. We have seen innovation in vaccines during this pandemic. By mid-2021, we have vaccines for adults and adolescents, and vaccines for children under 12 are on the horizon. Thank you to Drs. Nicholas Haddad and George Cacano for providing their expertise on the COVID-19 vaccine. To find out about our other podcasts, go to med.cmich.edu/shiftingmindsets. The Shifting Mindsets for Better Health podcast series is a production of the College of the Arts and Media, the College of Medicine, and the Interdisciplinary Center for Community Health and Wellness at Central Michigan University. Executive producer and host is Dr. Heather Polinsky. Interview recording and editing by Mr. Michael Potter. Produced by Drs. Judy Blabia, Allison Arnold, and John Lowry. Funded by a grant from the Children's Foundation